Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, and happy December. It's amazing how quickly this year has gone by. It's been quite a 2020, and I'm sure, like many of you, I'm hoping 2021 brings us a lot more positive news than we received in 2020. So I hope everybody out there is doing well and had a great Thanksgiving holiday. Thanks for tuning in today. Wanted to kick off December with a subject I get a lot of questions on. With the market as we see it today, with SPACs and IPOs on the open market, many of you want to know how to pitch your company, whether it be an idea or your company, how to pitch those to investors. And having been through so many of these pitches before, I just wanted to kind of outline some key points when you're preparing to stand in front of these investors, the shark tank of 5 or 10, whatever it may be, and give you some pointers when you're pitching your company or a great idea. So I felt in December, it's a time when a lot of new companies are born and or being prepared for Q1 of the following year. So I wanted to put this together. It's really startup, how to pitch your company to investors. And going to go through some points here with you and give you an idea of what that looks like and how to successfully do this with your company. And so when I looked at this, there were a couple key points I wanted to review with you. The first is the audience themselves. You know, a lot of times investors that I talk to and work with on the pitch deck are really focused, and rightly so, are focused around the business plan and the strategy and trying to condense that down into their elevator pitch. And one thing that they forget about a lot of times I find is who are they pitching to and why are they pitching them? So when you look at this audience, if you haven't predetermined who that audience is, they're going to predetermine you as a result. So you want to make sure that in addition to creating your business plan, consolidating that down to a pitch deck and having your elevator speech ready to go, that you understand who this audience is that you're going to be speaking to. And to give you an idea of having been on the other side is that, unfortunately, it's the reality of pitches, is that you're going to be also predetermined within the first 5 to 10 seconds. And after about 20, 35 minutes, you're going to be categorized either as successful or not successful. And you have to understand, as an entrepreneur, why that is. And the first point I'd like to make here, number one, is they're investing in you, not just the idea. Clearly, that seems obvious and one that a lot of people have talked about. But understanding who your audience is, and secondly, understanding that they're investing in you. So the ability for you to categorize them as well as them categorize you is understanding that they're investing in you plus your idea. So don't get so overwhelmed or so focused around the company, the idea. It's as important to these investors that you're likable, you're smart, you have sustainable business acumen, the ability to be successful, and also a like to have in many instances is, have you been in the fire before? Have you been in the belly of the beast? Have you actually built and grown a company from scratch? Now, I'm not talking about taking over a $100 million company and growing it to $110 million. I'm talking about starting with nothing, literally nothing, with everything at risk, and built something from nothing. Now, I had done that with my company, built that over 10 years and sold it to a PE firm. So I know what these companies are going through from the very beginning to when they exit. So when you look at the very first point there, again, it seems very simple, but it's a piece of this overall puzzle I'm going to be talking to you about today as well. So the first is understand they're investing in you and your idea, and they want to make sure you have sustainable business acumen, that you're likable, you're smart, Be great if you've been through the fire before. Having been an entrepreneur, having started your own company, and understanding everything that you go through that entire process is extremely valuable to investors, because there's always the unexpected. And there's this term that I always use when I'm talking or working with investors is expect the unexpected and plan for the unexpected as best you can, but you can never predict it. So that's why this having been in the belly of the beast, the fire before, is so inherently important to investors. So those are the key points on point number one. Number two is be efficient but effective with the details. You lose the investor after about 5 minutes. So you want to make sure, that's why this critical number of having this elevator pitch pulled together in the first 5 minutes, it allows you to present in a very concise, efficient, but effective manner. The reason for that is because then it gives the investor a feel of that this person understands the business model, understands the opportunity, and most importantly, how we're going to get our money back from a return standpoint. So within that 5 minutes on the elevator speech, it's really consolidating your business plan, which is traditionally 50 to 60 pages, and consolidate that down into a couple points. One is, what is your strategy? You know, how are you going to go after the market? How are you going to cut through everything else that is out there and have people hear your voice and be able to execute a strategy that's successful? But the first thing is defining that strategy. You know, what is your point of difference? How are you going to be able to develop this market where somebody else already has not? And the other side of that is that when you are successful, how do you protect your IP or your company, your business model, your product, whatever it is, through IP? So all of these things are progressive strategies beyond when you become successful. First and foremost is, out of the gate, what is your strategy that you feel will allow you to be successful? And the second point is, what is the potential long term for this to be an ongoing entity? We've heard the old term again, and I'll mention it, is that, you know, 80% of the companies fail within the first 5 years, the other 80% fail in the next 5 years. So you not only want to have a strategy, but you also want to know the potential long term of, is this a one-hit wonder? Is this something that can continually be updated? Can it be progressively updated? Can it move into other channels of opportunities? So potential really is defining those opportunities and what that looks like. And the third point here on being efficient and effective on your elevator pitch on your 5 minutes and going through the details of your strategy and your company is the ROI, obviously. And defining from financial acumen, again, is the ROI tangible? And when you look at pitches, whether they be Shark Tank or otherwise, if you've been through them, a lot of times the investor kind of sees everything through rose-colored glasses, like everything's perfect. Well, what if things aren't perfect? You know, give some contingencies relative to the ROI as well to make sure that you've done your homework and you understand that it's not a clear and concise number. And if there's contingencies built in, it shows your acumen is very professional and one that you've been through before. So making sure that the ROI is there, but being tangible and defining the scenarios to achieving that return on investment. The third point when you're pitching your company is, and again, it seems obvious, but it's not, is have a plan, meaning not just the start of the business, but the ending. And too many times I've seen companies where they have a great idea, they give a great strategy out of the gate, but then they lose sight of who you're talking to, is they want to have their return on investment and they lose interest after 5 to 7 years. So if you're going to be pitching to an investor or a group of investors, they're not going to be there long term. So they want to understand first and foremost, obviously, how are you, what is your strategy for building, growing the company, and how are you going to define yourself? But then the other side of it is, how am I going to exit? So have a plan for the start, but also have a plan for the ending. So an exit strategy in addition to an entry point. So I call it exit and entry, or entry exit, however you want to term it, but have a plan to ensure that they understand this is how you're going to get in and this is how they're going to get out. So that's point number three, have a plan for the start, entry point, and then the exit strategy. And the fourth point is research your investors. I talked a little bit about it earlier, but it's really important. And I put this in here because it's a point that many times when you're pitching investors is not put in to these areas to ensure that you're doing effectively is researching your investor. They're researching you. They're researching your idea. You've given them the concept. They've indicated an interest and they want to hear your pitch. But understand, you need to qualify them as well. What I look at are a couple areas. Is number one is category expertise. I've seen so many companies and investors that have an affinity for something that they like, but no core expertise on how to invest in that category. And I'll give you a great example. If it's a real estate, somebody that's made their money off of real estate, that's great. But if they want to invest in an apparel or footwear company and be very proactive and not passive, it's a problem. So you want to make sure that they understand the category first and foremost. And have they done comparable investments? Again, if they've all they've invested in is wool companies or some other type of category of business, you want to make sure that they understand the category so they can provide value for you long term. Because their expectations are going to be very high, so they need to have category expertise, they need to have comparable investments. And many times what I've seen, the beneficial side of having comparable investments with a company that does invest in your company is that a lot of times there's synergies there that you can share between the companies. So it becomes extremely valuable short-term and long-term for entrepreneurs to have an investment group that has core synergies with your company, your category, and potentially other brands or companies that they've invested in as well. And alignments with your entry and exit points. And I say this as well because it's very interesting because many times you may not want to exit the way they want to exit. So if there isn't an opportunity to have alignment between the strategy of how to get in and then on the back end, what you've indicated to them is how you're going to exit out of this investment. You personally are not, but they want to know after 5 to 7 years, what is your strategy for exit? So if you've seen through research that the exit strategy they've deployed with their other investment doesn't align with what your strategy is or your plan for exiting, that will also be a problem. So make sure you investigate that as well. And the last one I have here is passive versus proactive. Do they want to be passively involved, sitting on the sidelines, seeing their money grow, having you give them status and updates, or they want to be proactively involved in the business? So that's why I put these top three items in there. If they don't have category expertise, they don't have comparable investments, and their alignment with exit and entry doesn't match with theirs, if they're not passive, then it'll be a problem. But even with passive investments, where that alignment doesn't happen, it becomes a problem for the entrepreneur. So you want to make sure you avoid those. Just research your investor as much as they research you. Five is button up the details. Make sure you've done the proper due diligence. Ensure you have everything completed prior to providing them the business plan. So I always say be proactive. Answer the question before it's asked. Be very proactive. Don't sit in a meeting with a 5-minute pitch and not have the questions answered before you go in there. Many times, the questions that investors and that I will ask when I'm at the table looking at investments are very similar across the board. Just make sure that you've been very proactive on buttoning it up in the due diligence. When you say something, and I say due diligence is when you say something, it's fact, that we don't go back and then do our due diligence and find out that what you told us was in fact wrong. So make sure you're doing the due diligence and buttoning up the details, research and analysis, and make sure it's properly prepared and presented to the investor prior to going into a pitch meeting. Number six is be prepared to negotiate the term sheet. And you just never know when you're sitting in a meeting with investors and all of a sudden, out of the blue, they say, hey, let's write up a term sheet. This idea sounds interesting. And if you've done your homework and you've been proactive in putting these points together, that may very well be the case. You just have to be prepared for it. So understand the process, number one. Understand what the term sheet details are and what your expectations are and be willing and ready to negotiate. You never know. Again, you want to get a deal done sooner rather than later. If you properly qualified these investors and they've reached out to you to hear your pitch, there's obviously a good match there if you do your job. And so make sure that you're prepared. And then also justify the valuation. You know, valuations can be all over the board these days, but justify why you've indicated a particular valuation. So make sure that you have that prepared as well. And the last one is learn the language. You know, understand the terminology and the process. You know, when you go into a meeting and you're working the pitch deck with them and you're doing your elevator speech, make sure that your terminology is commonplace between both of you, that they don't have to explain themselves on every question that they're asking. You've got very little time. So be efficient and effective, learning the language and the process and being prepared in case they do express an interest in putting together a term sheet with you. So be prepared and learn the process. So when you look at the pitch itself, when you look at several points of what does that look like, there's a couple areas in preparing for the pitch, in addition to what I've just discussed, that'll be some additional areas in more detail. So when you look at the first area of a pitch, the first thing that you have to do is build the business plan. You know, a strategy of how you're going to be successful. That's the first thing you have to do because you're effectively putting your idea or your company down on paper. So you have to first understand it so you can then explain it. You know, there's nothing worse than somebody giving a presentation that doesn't understand what they're presenting. And it seems very easy. But I've given many presentations and I found presentations that I give to be extremely easy because I know the subject matter. So the business plan is the first thing. Try to keep this thing in between 50 to 60 pages and try and keep it consolidated. So when you drill it down into a pitch deck, you can put together the top bullet points that you want to get across to your investors. So the first thing is building that business plan and that strategy, which again is 50 to 60 pages. So point number one. The second thing is then from that business plan, put together a PowerPoint, whatever it is to present the business plan. So this is a visual interpretation of your business plan or strategy that you can then go over with a Zoom meeting with any investor. These days with C19, you need to have the technical capabilities plus a presentation in hand that you can go through. Now, traditionally, a presentation that you convert from the business plan to, let's say, a PowerPoint, you want to keep that between 20 to 25 pages, no more than 50% of your business plan. Ideally, keeping it less because it really then translates to focus and the ability for you to cut through the minutiae to get to what's important. And then the third piece is then from those two, get a condensed version of the business plan, a quick overview, 5 to 6 pages. So again, about 10-15% of your business plan allows you to really pull together a focused overview. So if somebody has a presentation, I call it this carrot that you put out there, is just enough information to get them interested to listen to you, give them a business plan, give them an NDA, give them a business plan, and then follow up with a presentation and an elevator pitch. So a quick overview from the business plan, kind of putting it out there, some carrots for people to bite on, and then once they do, sign them up for a meeting. You'll go through the business plan and presentation. So a quick overview, 5 to 6 pages of your business plan, and then a quick overview or slide deck of your condensed PowerPoint presentation, you know, 2 to 3 pages. So again, I would say when you look at this 50 to 60 pages on the business plan, less if possible, 20 to 25 on the PowerPoint presentation, and then 10 to 15% of each on that quick overview and the slide deck, which equals 5 to 6 on a quick overview of the business plan, 2 to 3 pages on the slide deck for the PowerPoint. And then from that, when you get in front of people, whether on a Zoom meeting or in person eventually, you want to have that elevator pitch ready to go. 4 to 5 minutes and something that's pulled off of your business plan. And so those are quick bullet points. You're going through all the progressive steps of how you're going to make this successful. The entry point, your point of difference, your defined strategy, your execution, what's going to need to be needed financially. and then your exit strategy. So really an elevator pitch of 4 to 5 minutes. So these are all points that you need in order to create a pitch. I've gone through, once you're in the pitch, the top 7 points there, what you're going to need to have, that be investing in, they're investing in you and the idea, be efficient and effective, have a plan, research your investors, button up the details, do your due diligence properly, and be prepared for negotiating a term sheet, and learn their language. And from there, the pitch itself is the business plan, a presentation, PowerPoint presentation if need be, condensed version of both, and then your elevator pitch, and you're ready to go. So the last things I'll say when you're pitching your company to investors is cut through the crowd, number one. Number two is be organized. Number three is be persistent. Number four is don't waste others' time. Five is be creative in whatever you do. I'm not just saying the presentation, but be creative how to get in front of people that you know would be interested in your idea or your company. And the last two are be successful and find a way. So all of these points I find when I talk to companies, the brands that I work with through Liquid Mind, liquidmindsight.com. If any of you are interested in having further information in regards to pitching your company, pitching your brand, working with investors, PE, VC firms, our company has the relationships as well as the experience to do that. So I wish each of you luck in pitching your company or idea. Just be persistent and you'll be successful. Would like to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles today. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully you've enjoyed the subjects that we talk about each week here on the Visionary Chronicles. And we feel it's very important. We understand that there's professional needs and support you need with your companies and with your brands, but we also appreciate the fact that you've got some personal needs. As leaders of companies and brands, there are many things that you have to deal with, and we want to make sure that we're addressing those as well. If you like what you hear, we would really appreciate subscribing to the Visionary Chronicles. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and Podbean. So we would really appreciate if you'd subscribe and look forward to bringing additional episodes to you each week. So again, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Look forward to the next podcast.